That's a lot of work. Did you buy that at Walmart? That's beautiful. Thank you very much.
My wife gets all the credit for that.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's all those kits there for the kids. Thank you both very much. Well, I'm gonna take a break today. I think Roger should share with us, don't you? So my brother in Christ, Roger's going to share what God's put on his heart, and I'm grateful. I don't think it's healthy to have a steady diet of anybody, especially Ron Parker. So I think it's the grace of God that other people use their spiritual gifts to build the church. What's Lois saying that I don't know? What's said in the chapel stays? No, that doesn't work, but anyway. Let me pray for my brother. Lord, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your grace that changed my heart, your grace that changed Roger's heart, your grace that's working in all our lives right now. I pray, and I prayed earlier, I know you've heard it, anoint my brother as he shares your word with us, and anoint our minds and hearts to receive your word and be changed. In Jesus' name and for his glory, amen.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you all? How you doing? How you been? What's happening? So, been an interesting week for me. First, I'll say, you know, I'm not Ron Parker. I didn't know Ron was going to be here today. I'm Roger Levesque. I'm a deacon here, in case you don't know me. And most of you do. And I get to do this every once in a while. It's always fun to do it once in a while, because you don't have to do it every week, and you don't have to, you know, keep us focused and theme. I'm going to talk about that a little bit today, about focus and our five senses, which distract us and draw us and pull us every minute of every day, some of us worse than others. Some of us more than others. And some of us are very, very, very rigid, strict, can stick to, stay on task. Look over there. Everybody see that? Look. You know, leaf comes off a tree and I'm, where was I? You know, sort of thing. Not as bad as Carol, and Carol doesn't mind me saying that. Because Carol will walk around the house, start to do laundry, pick up something, end up doing dishes, be back over sweeping the floor, make a phone call, got a text back, and I come home and say, what did you do today? So it's not as funny as it may seem at times. So anyway, thank you, Rod. Rod's message is part of my message. The song's a part of my message. You know, we look at our little children and we hold, you know, great hopes for where they'll become, you know, where they'll grow to, for their lives and all of those things. But I find myself more and more, as I grow at 62 and continue to grow, be more and more concerned about where their heart is. Things change all the time. We were talking this morning, you know, life changes every day, life happens every day, and the importance is, you know, what do you hold on to? What do you hold tight? And I will tell you, you know, through this sermon here today, which is a lot of words on paper, but I'll tell you today that Jesus is alive and he's well, and he is into us. You know, he's into us. He wants us. He chased us. You know, we fell before him. He is our Lord and Savior. This world we live in is a very distracting place to live. It's dark and it's scary. And if you look at it through your five senses, it is dark and scary. So just to have a little fun at the beginning, obviously, all you didn't get the memo, because it'd be a lot less of you here today, because that's normally what happens when the preacher isn't preaching. That was Nate's joke this morning. Yeah, I know, because he was sending out emails and all that stuff across the town. But the truth is, we all get to see commercials on television every day, right? And we're inundated by them. And one of the ones that we're inundated with is, because they have so much money to spend, drug companies. And I love the drug company commercials. They will tell you about the cure, and then they'll tell you about the 50 things that could be caused by the cure, right? So I can cure your hangnail, but it may cause heart attacks, diabetes, you know, on and on and on. And in rare cases, it could lead to death. You know, take care of my hangnail, right? So they always start out with the cure and end with a disclaimer. So I get to start with a disclaimer. So I'll start with a disclaimer this morning. Today, I could cause you to be mad, sad, happy, sleepy, bored, excited, angry, confused, silly, feel like I'm talking directly to you, or wonder who the heck I'm talking to, or maybe even wondering what was wrong, thinking, letting this guy in the door. What was he doing, letting me in the door? Really, what I want you to know is that God's been doing a work in me, and part of that is still a work in process. Rod's message is right on. We look at our children, and we know that they're still a work in process. But I'll tell you, the guy kneeling down with the white hair is still a work in process, right? We all are. Sometimes we don't think so, and I hope that I never get there. There are times in my life when I thought I was there. I was all that and a bunch more and all those things, and things happen in life and remind us. It happens every day. I'll tell you, my challenge this week was, you know, just inundated by the world around me. So I usually get a chance to spend some time working on sermon, and I'll go into work early, and I'll stay a little late, and during my breaks, I'll do that. And so I kind of knew, because it was part of a sermon I'd done before, and it was I did this sermon, and it had, I told everybody, it was like one of those books that, depending upon how you answer the questions at the end of the chapter, will depend on where the book goes. And the truth is, it was really one of those where I had so much information in my head, and God had just inundated me over the week, and I had lots of peaceful time, and I was just trying to make sense of it all, right? So, and by the grace of God and the Holy Spirit, it went quite well, you know? And I have a few other things to share. So this week was crazy. Like Tuesday of the week, an engineer who normally takes care of our insurance audits that go on, because for a large company, they're pretty massive. Anybody that has to deal with them, they want to see your fire extinguishers, your sprinkler systems. They want to know how they work. What's your PSI? Where are they? What do they do? All this stuff. They want to know all about your facility, all about your process, all about your customers and all that. And my boss walks in my office and says, hey, Ken Bundy's going to be out. I need you to take the audit this week. You know, with the insurance company, it's an annual audit. They decide how much they're going to charge you for all of your liability type insurances and all that. And my first impression is, I am ill prepared for that, you know. And my next question was, oh God, oh God, oh God, why have you forsaken me? You know, what is this? You know, I got a sermon to do this week. Don't you know that? I can't, you know. So I had a lot to learn in very few days. Spent a lot of time with people, getting a lot of questions. The end of the day, the audit went very well. So that was great. You know, we got this A1 rating and all that stuff. So by the grace of God, I would tell you. And also, we're a very very well-organized and very run company. So that kind of made all that nice. In the midst of other things, I'm working on my sermon. And, you know, it's like midday. And I'm really struggling and wondering what's going on. And at that point, the power blinks. And once it gets back up and running, my IT guy, you know, sends a message around and says, oh, by the way, anybody knows much about computers, our system is called Microsoft Server 1, and our Microsoft Server 1 is down, and they don't know why, and they can't seem to get it back up, and guess where my sermon is? Anybody want to guess where my sermon is? Microsoft Server 1. Microsoft Server 1.
Been there.
Been there, right? So maybe fortunately for you, it was a lot more pages. In resurrecting it, you know, God's grace on all of you, it got reduced a little bit. Thank you, Jesus. Right. The truth is, it's a very short, down-to-earth message. But then in the middle of that, so part of my talk today is about Jesus is alive, and he's well, and he wants us, and he wants to be with us every minute of every hour of every day. Not part-time, not sometime, not when we call on him. I talked about that before. I have a friend that, you know, is of a different religion that doesn't necessarily believe that, and we have quite a few debates over that. He believes that God's, you know, when you call, he'll come, you know. And I said, ooh, you know, bad saying, but, you know, genie in a bottle God. You know, okay, Lord, I need you today. Come on out. Are you awake? You know, that's not our God. Our God is with us every minute, every hour, every second of every day. So he is alive. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that. Really, what I want you to know is that God has been doing a work in me. And, you know, Rod's thing this morning, doing a work in me. And it's not done. And I would say, thank God, we are all a work in process. Are we not? We're all a work in process. I hope I don't stay where I am. You know, I hope to continue to grow. There was a time in my life when, you know, I will tell you that, you know, the resurrection was fine, but that whole down from the cross, Holy Spirit stuff was not really a part of who I was, or not so much the religion I was in, because when I went to church every day, on the cross up in front, what was on the cross? Jesus, still on the cross, right? Jesus is not on the cross. I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about Thomas a little bit here in a bit. So I'm also going to talk about the five senses. Sight, hearing, touch, smell, and taste. Versus sensing, feeling, and faith. You know, hopefully there's no scientists in here, because one of the things I find, you know, I like do a little bit of research, and I find there are scientists out there that believe in those five things, and that's it. You know, those five things run your life. I had a marketing professor way back when who believed in the five things. And he built everything and believed everything was about marketing. He would tell you, I'm standing here in front of you today, marketing God, right? Everything's about marketing. And if you're good at it, then people will perceive that through their five senses, not through sensing, not through feeling, all of that stuff. And we all know, some of us varying degrees, some of us are very sensitive, and some of us aren't so sensitive at all, right? I don't tend to be very sensitive, because I'll tell you that my my five senses run my life a bit. And the more I do things like this, the more I get to know myself better. So my wife, Carol, who's not here today, everybody see Carol's not here. It's not because I'm preaching Nate, who's going to say that. She must have known. She's away on a girls' weekend. They've been doing it for some 37 years. She's up sitting on the shores of Muslik Maguntik. Praying for me, I hope. No, kidding. But my wife, Carol, will tell me that sometimes I can say, is that thing doing that? Is that me? That my wife, Carol, will tell me, and this always hurts me inside, sometimes that I can say hurtful things and not even know it. I can do it and not even know it. I can hurt your feelings and kind of move on like it never even happened. My normal answer to that is, really, me? No way. I'm a feeling guy. Ask my kids. I cry, don't I? I cry, you know, on commercials. Andrew made me cry the other day. And I don't know, knowing myself as well as I do, I don't know what that is. You know, I don't know how things touch me. But I do know it's my five senses a lot of times. I can tell you that, you know, a couple of weeks ago, Eric and Cheryl Noe stood here and talked about, I'll let you know also that this sermon's been rattling around my brain that long, probably for part of my life, but stood here and they talked about the Dominican, and, you know, and it was tough for him, and, you know, I appreciate that very much because it touches me as well. One of the things Ron said, and he probably didn't realize he said it, and he said, one of the reasons this stuff happens and that places like that impact our life so much is because of it engages all of our senses. So when you go there, it is all of them, and you're engrossed in what's going on, and all of your senses get fired up, and they're all alive and well, and they're in a place and working in a process that is of God's grace, right? So it's a God thing, other than kind of the senses of what's going on in the world. Truth is, I'm just like most people, just like most of you out there. Sight, hearing, touch, smell, and taste can tend to rule many parts of my life. Just in case you didn't know, and I talked about it a second ago, sensing, feeling, and faith are not the sixth, seventh, and eighth sense. But if you go on the internet, you'll find people that are arguing that they really are, and they should be included in. If you were here a few weeks ago, I did a sermon, and it was the one that I had told you about earlier, you know, the kind of split thing, chapter ends, go a different way, and it was kind of fun to stand here in front of you and do that. It was, if where you are is where God would have you be, and if where you are, he is also. So if where you are is where God is, and where you are is where he would have you be, where else would you want to be? You know, so that was part of it. Why would you want to be anywhere else? So today is a couple of those things that I sort of went in a different direction, or whatever you want to call that, that have continued to challenge me. And I promise you, you didn't have to be there for this to make sense to you, because it's two clear messages. Jesus is alive and well. You know, a lot of us, and myself, one of the things I always do in my life is, you know, I always look at scripture, and I look at, you know, the disciples and people that were around then, and I would always and have always and continue to say, where would I be in the midst of that? Who would I be when Jesus was hauling the cross up? Would I be the one to step out and take the other end of it? Or would I be one of the ones yelling scorn? Because I always say, you know, look at the 12. Look at the 12. The things that they saw, lived through, and were a part of through Jesus' life. And then you have Thomas. And at the end, what did Thomas do? And what do we know today that has transcended all time? We still use the words, doubting Thomas. You know, I say, so who would I be? I'm going to talk about Thomas in a little bit. The second thing, so Jesus is alive, 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 and every second, every minute, every hour of every day, he's present among us. He's present among us. The distracted world around us makes a mess of that. That's the other piece. So last week I had my grandson Gavin. So everybody got that? Jesus is alive and we are distracted, right? Alive, distracted by faith and grace. We are very fortunate here by faith, by grace. One of the things that I hope to be here, I'll get to Gavin in a minute. One of the things I hope to be here is a faith builder. You know, I stand here sometimes and I look around and I think, how many people stood here? You know, it's almost, if you think about it too much, it can be intimidating, can't it, Ron? The people that stood here and shared the word of God to lots of people here. Changed lives, you know, changed lives. Faith builders. Ron is a mighty, and we are very grateful, you know, through our music team. Ron is a mighty faith builder. Our music team are mighty faith builders. We're mighty faith builders amongst each other as well. We raise each other up regularly. Prayer and praise and all of those things. So, faith builder. Jesus is alive. We are distracted. Jesus loved it. So last weekend I had Gavin over for a sleepover. Gavin's here. Gavin, raise your hand, buddy. There are you. He's over there. See him out back there. Just embarrassed the heck out of him. He was over for a sleepover, and he usually loves sleeping in the spare room with his bumper. So in case you're wondering, if you yell bumper, you know, I'll come. We have strange names for our grandparents. Bumper. I believe I will pass this life as bumper. Yeah. So grandchildren and all that. So he loves to sleep with his bumper, and one of the reasons he loves to is because we can talk for quite some time, way too long, about way silly things in bed, and he can ask all kinds of crazy questions. So we kind of go through that little ritual piece, and finally we settle down and decide to do prayer. And so we pray for all kinds of wonderful things. And at the end, Gavin says, "Bumper," he says, "there must be a lot of gods out there." And I said, "Really, Gavin? Why? What makes you say a lot of gods?" He said, "Because how else can he hear all the people praying all around the world and answer everybody's prayers?" And Rod did it this morning. Try to answer that question. Right? I don't know about that. The truth is, I can't answer that question using my five senses because it doesn't. It takes my other senses. It takes my feelings, my faith, and God's grace. So I went through that. Sermon would be much longer if I started going down that path, so I won't do it. But we talked for a minute, and Gavin kind of looked at me, and he said, "Oh, okay." And I thought, and I asked him, I said, "Really? Okay?" He said to me, you know, and it was dark in the room, so I didn't get to see his face, and he probably didn't get to see me cry, but he said, "I trust you, Grandpa." He said, "I trust you," right? "I trust you. I trust in you." Through faith, not through, I didn't give him information. I will tell you that I spent a lot of my life as a defender of God and a defender of the word. And I, you know, Luis Palau is a defender of the word. And if you go there, you become inspired because you know that if the earth was tipped 1 millimeter, it would be totally different than it is now, and on and on and on. And if you believe in creation, you got to believe that if I threw all the parts for a carburetor into a dryer for a certain amount of time, it would tumble long enough, right? And it would assemble itself. You got to believe that. Because I'm not just throwing in the raw materials, then have it turn into, you know, carbon and then turn into the parts and all that stuff. And I, you know, that was how I explained my belief. You know, it was a five senses belief for a long time. And through many years of great teaching, faith builders, that has very little to do with my faith now. That has very little to do with my walk. That has very little to do with my belief. I don't have to defend that. So it is through faith that I spoke with Gavin, and it is through faith that I live, and it's by the grace of God that I stand in front of you here today. So, one of my favorite scriptures just happens to be John 20, 24 through 29, and it's about Thomas, and it's not up there, so I'm going to read it off from here, and because I didn't tell you to put it up there, so I'm going to read it to you. So now, Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But Thomas said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and the place my fingers and place my fingers into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." And every time I read those things, it's like I told you a minute ago, I get a chill. Because I say, "Really, Thomas, what are you thinking?" And I say, you know, "There but by the grace of God go I. There but by the grace of God go I." He is alive every minute of every day. 8 days later, so there was an 8-day span. And just so you know, I believe that I believe that I believe in the Word of God. So an 8-day span went by. There had to be turmoil amongst the 12. You know, they had seen and all of that, and Thomas was still no. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Imagine that moment. You want to get a chill. Imagine that moment. Then he said to Thomas, "Put your fingers in here and see my hands, and put your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered, obviously now, right? Jesus is standing in front of him. All of his senses are firing everything. I'm sure, you know, sight, sound, feel, you know, the smell in the air, everything. My Lord, and my God. Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me?" And he said, this is part of the reason I read this scripture, is blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe, right? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe by faith, by grace, by the word. So do you know that you know that you know that he is alive and well? I used to have a pastor, and it was one of those things that he would always do, and you could tell when he wanted to make sure that you knew that you knew that you knew, right? Do you know that you know that you know? Do you know that you know that you know that Jesus is alive and Jesus is well? And here now, every second of every day, and our five senses would pull us away from that. So most of us have this ritual we go through. We all came to church this morning. I did it to some of you just for funds, and it's the truth, and you didn't notice it because it's what we do every Sunday, right? We come together, and we walk up to each other, and we meet in church, and it goes something like this. It goes something like this. "Morning, how are you?" "Doing great, thank you." "See, yeah, doing great. How you doing?" "I'm well, thanks. How are you?" "Good, good. How you doing?" Mine is, "All's well. I'm good. Everything's good." Sometimes, believe it or not, not all is well. And not all is good. And there's a lot of crap going on. And I will still say, "All's good." It's my go-to thing, right? It's my go-to thing. Some of us have very good senses and can pick up. And some of you I could call out by name and won't. And someone will say, "You don't look so good. You know, you don't feel so good." But the normal answer to that is something more like, "Hey, what do you think of those Patriots? How's the thing? Weather coming? Hi, John." "John, weather? Ah, crappy outside. Anybody seen the pothole down the end of the hill? Did you hit that on the way in this morning?" "Gee," you know, and on we go, and then we come to worship. And then we come to worship together. I challenge you all to say, one of the things we do, it's one of the reasons we start out with worship, is what's the intent of worship? To draw us in, to get us focused, to shut out the world around us a little bit, to slow down our five senses. I've said this before. I used to have a job where there was a lot of critical things that went on, and some of the people I worked for hated when I said this, but I would say things like, "We've got a lot to do today, not much time, we better slow down." right? A lot to do, not much time. We better slow down. I will confess in front of God and everybody and Ron, there are times when I come to church where I'm going, geez, time, boy, time. I got this, you know, I got this plan after church. I got this plan. Then I would challenge you when we meet one another, you know, our five senses rule us, you know, feeling, sensing, and faith and grace mean way more. It was one of the most difficult time in the life of Carol and I. We had a church family, and they look a lot like you, and they looked a lot like you. We'd been there for a very long time, and we ended up leaving the church, and one of the reasons we left the church was because we realized that one of the reasons we were going to church, one of the main reasons we were going to church was because of the people. And I love you all, and it can't be the reason I come here. It can't be the only reason I come here. Why am I here today? Why am I talking today? Because Jesus is alive and well in every second of every minute, and he wants us. He wants all of you. He wants to heal your wounds. I had this vision one time, and it is above and beyond senses, right? People talk about visions. I used to go, ooh, you know, it's a little spooky and all that stuff. But I saw this vessel, and water was pouring out of it, and water was pouring in it. It was full of holes. There was holes all through it. And it really meant something to me. To me, it meant my walk. I'll tell you, walking in this world, I get holes poked in me every single day. And some of them get healed, and I know they do. I've been healed from a neck injury or a neck disorder. Lots of years ago, but a lot of times they still leak. We leak. I had a pastor in the past, a different pastor, who say, you know, one of the reasons we come to church every Sunday is we leak and we got to get filled back up. And we have to be careful about not getting filled back up because my cup runneth over or my cup runs empty. And when my cup starts to run empty, I'm in trouble. And the things around me start to really infiltrate who I am. Skip that part. So what about the news? How about the news? Does the news distract you? I find myself having to completely turn the news off, and it doesn't matter what side you're on, because I believe that just like my marketing teacher told me, they're marketing to you every day. I believe a lot of what we see on television right now is already working towards 2 years from now when the election's going to happen. And I say, as a businessman, I have a very different view. Yeah, but that, didn't I hire them to work? I didn't hire them to start working on getting reelected from the day that they went in. John McKernan once said one of the things he didn't like was he found that the first time he went to a federal position was someone came and talked to him about his reelection. On his first day in Washington, D.C., they came and talked to him about his reelection. You know, so we're being marketed to all that stuff. So the news. If all you do is watch the news using your five senses, this world is a dark and scary place. If you watch it, you wonder, oh God, you know, you can say, oh God, oh God, oh God, you know, what is going on? The right thing to say is, who's in control? Who's in control? The victory is won. Jesus is alive and well. You know, one of the, you know, Rod said it this morning, I don't know how to answer that question. Gavin, ooh, answer that question. But I do know that in the midst of all the chaos in our life, and in the midst of bad things happening to good people, and in the midst of the craziness we live in, God stands beside us, alongside us, plows the path ahead of us, you know, all of that. You know, Ron mentioned this morning about Maine being a tough place. It is. Our fields are full of rocks and things. Not an easy place to plow. Not an easy place to plow. We aren't easy people at times to plow. Thank God we have faith builders and that we come together to be faithful with one another. So through our faith in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, I find the light in the darkness, the calm in the storm, and peace in the unpeaceful. This is an unpeaceful world. It's an unpeaceful world. You know, you can get so, I think I should carry a handgun around every minute of every day because I got to somehow protect myself and protect my people and protect, you know, my stuff and my things and all that. And I forget at times that I have a protector, you know, that I have a protector. How about in worship? So we get distracted with our relationships. How about worship? It's pretty easy for me to get distracted during worship. Ron may think maybe sometimes I'm sleeping when he's looking out through here and sees me sitting there with my eyes closed and wondering, what's going on? And I do it during music, and I'll close my eyes, and a lot of times I won't even sing because I'll find myself, you know, I want to worship. I want to feel the presence of the Holy Spirit, and I want him to hear my words, and I can get very distracted. The leaf just fell. Did you see that? You know, somebody just sneezed over there, and I'm singing, and I'm trying to follow the words, and I use it, and it's very distracting. You know, somebody's voice behind me maybe even distracting. Somebody drops a pencil, I'm distracted. I'm very easily distracted. Sometimes I think I'm, you know, like the cat with the little light, you know, that goes around and, you know, all that stuff. And other times I'm more like a dog who is, it's got to be tough to be a dog. It's got to be tough to be a dog. Because what's the number one sense that leads a dog around every single day? Their nose, right? They just go, you know, what was that over there, back over here? What was I doing? You know, one sense. So by recognition of all of these things, recognition, Jesus is alive and well every second, every minute, every hour of every day, and that we can be pulled away very easily. We can be pulled away very easily, and we are. So I will close my eyes. And sometimes I don't sing. And some of the best times for me is when I can sing because I know the words, you know, and I can sing and stand there and know the words. I will tell you that I was at a PK conference once, one of the first ones I went to, and I will tell you one of the first times I ever really had this out-of-body walking with the Lord experience. I was down in, completely lost it. Going to help me, Ron. Where's the baseball stadium? Yep. What?
Shea Stadium.
Standing there, 45,000 men singing Amazing Grace. And I stood there, and for one of the first times probably for me, I had my hands in the air, and I was somewhere else. I'm going to tell you, I was somewhere else, and I was in the presence of God. And it was an amazing, amazing moment. And we have to be careful about seeking those all the time, but I believe that's where God wants us to be when we stand here on Sunday morning. He wants us to be standing there. And, of course, it's one of these things, so I feel like I'm standing on the edge of a cliff, but I am just gone. I'm telling you, gone. And stood there for a while after, and somebody started speaking, and I'm still standing up, and one of the guys with me, with his five senses, tapped me on the shoulder and said, Roger, you all right? And I said, I'm fine. But five senses. There weren't five senses involved in that. It was feeling sight on that. So I'll tell you, so in the midst of all the chaos, right, I'm doing this, putting this sermon together, and I'm trying to figure out what's going on. Server one goes down. I start writing down with a pencil in a little bit of panic. Not so much because it's pen and pencil, but because you ought to try reading my writing. So that's a little bit of a panic. So in the midst of it all, I get a text from my son, Andrew. And the point of telling you this text isn't how my son Andrew feels about me, but it's something more than that, and it's a message to me. So in the midst of all that chaos, I'm in panic, what's going on, all this stuff, and Andrew sends me a text, and this is what it says. And I'll try to pretty much get through it. So Andrew said to me, he said, I just had an appreciation, everything my dad ever did for me, growing up moment. So I just had an appreciation, everything. Well, you know, texting, it probably should say for everything, but we'll let the grammar go. My dad did for me growing up moment. Yeah, right? In case any of you don't know, Carol is the grammatical expert. He said, so I was cooking pancakes for the boys and myself this morning. I had just enough batter for Wesley to have one and Gavin and I to have two each. I cooked them up and served Gavin first. And as he started eating, and then Wesley feeding him, and lastly cooking mine. Right as I got to sit down, Gavin says to me, I'm still hungry. So I give him one of my pancakes and I only get one. And right there, in that moment, because God speaks to us, I believe, every second, every minute of every day. And I'm reading this, having a hard time while I'm at work, which hopefully somebody didn't walk in with their 5 cents and say, Roger, you all right? He says, and right there, I had a moment of realizing how much you sacrificed for us growing up and still do today. Even though it was just the pancakes, it's about a father putting his kids first and going without. And then he ends with, love you more than I can explain. And the truth is, you did explain it. It's a great message from a son to a father. It's a great message from a father to his followers. That's what he has sacrificed for us, what he's done for us. Crucified, died, and was buried, and what? Rose again. And of course, with the scriptures, and seated at the right hand of God, and all those wonderful things, right? And I know that because I was through catechism, taught to memorize those scriptures. And they were a lot of words, and it's not about the words. Jesus is alive and well in everything we do. Seek him, reach for him. We all have a bit of Thomas in us. If you do a, lineage thing, it kind of narrows back down to, and some of us sitting in this room probably have a little Thomas in us, right? A little Thomas in us. Show me. Like I told you before, I was the defender of the word and scripture and my belief, and I'm not a defender anymore. I'm a carrier of a message. So as I was doing a lot of this, I love to do a little research, and I go on the internet, and I found a song, and it was mostly because it had everything to do with some of the scripture that I was talking about. So I want to play this song for you, and then I'll try to wrap that all up. But I can't. So I'm still. So I would say, in closing, know that you know that Jesus is alive. Know that you know that you know. We're told that, we hear that, we can read that. Everything around us would distract us and draw us away from that truth, that Jesus is alive. There's a little bit of that, you are what you eat thing. We are what we eat. I joked earlier about you must have got the message that, someone other than Ron was preaching. You must not have got the message of someone other than Ron. The truth is, our pews should be full. I heard something on the radio this week that caught me. Person was talking about, I got to tell you, if I died today and I rose again, I'd be going around telling everybody. Wouldn't you tell everybody? I told you earlier, my neck got healed. It was miraculous. It's a little bit of a long story, but my neck got healed by something that had nothing to do with me and all that, but I got healed. And two things I did. I told everybody who'd listen, and I got up every morning and said, thank you, Lord, for healing me. And I still to this day tell you, thank you, Lord, for healing me. I spent 10 years in, some pain and agony and all that stuff, and they were going to operate and, bad chance of success or medium chance of success, and didn't, in the midst of it, in the midst of all that, I got healed. And what she said was, after that, was, I want everybody to know. She says, I was dead, and I'm alive, and she was talking about her walk, not just the physical living in the world. I was dead, and I'm alive. And she said, and I feel like yelling that from the rooftops. There's nothing any more fun, and it actually, for me, it used to be a little scary to watch a brand new Christian who one day got it. If I was to tell you today about my Christian walk, I over time, I went to church ever since, my parents could take me to church. And There were six of us, and I used to tell everybody, my parents didn't go to church, by the way, did you know? But they took us to church. And I always said it was their only alone time. That's why they took us to church. But ever since, I've never had a moment. I've had moments when I've stood, but I've never had a moment where, you know, I'm saved by my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's not through anything I did. He came and chased me. So I'll finish with a poem, and it's one of my favorites. Who knew I was a lover of poetry, right? Just as my children bring his broken toys with tears for me to mend, I took my broken dreams to God because he is my friend. But then instead of leaving him in peace to work alone, I hung around and tried to help with ways that were my own. At last I snatched him back and cried, "How could you be so slow?" And what do you suppose he said? "What could I do, my child?" He said, "You never did let go. You never did let go." So there's lots of things that distract us and drag us down. There's a lot of holes in our pot. But Jesus is alive and well, and my cup runneth over. And your cup should runneth over, because he's there every second, every minute, every hour of every day. And that's all I got. Thank you.
Remember that song, "He's Alive"? He's a memory test. But Roger didn't know. Yeah, we sang that probably Easter back in the mid-90s here. Reg, my brother Reg and Rick Fulton. And I haven't heard it for a long time. Thanks for rediscovering it. Did you guys sing with that too? What? I know. Reg and Rick, my brother Reg and Rick sang it, yeah, a long time ago. Rick would have loved that. Plus Shea Stadium, by the way. Nate, Tom, Rod, we were all in Shea Stadium. We didn't know you were there. Oh, I remember that. No, I don't. Promise Keepers. It's a men's movement. Amen. Hallelujah. We all are. I'm in A major, everybody. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You haven't changed. A lot of life and circumstances and all that stuff that Roger said, slam our five senses. But you're after something eternal. Our love, our lives, and then you are changing us, transforming us into the beautiful image of your Son, Jesus. Thank you, faithful Holy Spirit. Thank you. And you didn't ditch Thomas when he said, I don't buy this. You came in first and said, peace, because he was probably afraid. Then he says, go ahead, touch, believe. And you do that for us too. When we want to say, nah, I'm not buying it, you'll say, come here and experience me. Experience my love. Experience my forgiveness. Experience my peace, my salvation. Thank you, Jesus. May we carry that message. We may be able to not scream it to our friends. I feel like it too. I know what he's saying. But let us communicate in grace and love your wonder, Jesus, to a world around us that's lost and frustrated, turning to all the wrong things, like the old rock song. They're looking for love in all the wrong places. We find it from you, Jesus. Our hope is in you. We worship you. Amen? You will be dismissed as of right now, but remember, we don't have it over our doors, but a lot of churches do. You're now entering the mission field, so including the fellowship hall. So if you want to head out, we'll have prayer and praise and Sunday school.